Well, people want to target me and come after me because, well, I am effective. I'm effective in exposing the left, and I'm effective in exposing the Islamic threat that our world is facing, not just America. And, you know, the most powerful interests in the world right now, well, they're trying to advocate for these things. They're trying to spread communism. They're trying to Islamify the Western world. And I'm going after some of the most powerful people in the world with my investigations, and mm-hmm. I get up in their face, and I'm effective in exposing them and embarrassing them mm-hmm. and really shedding light on their hypocrisy. And I don't have any major funding, and I'm doing all of this on my own with, you know, my cell phone and my laptop, and like I said, no major backing, just the support of the people. And because I'm this effective, and I've been able to become really like a household name in the last 18 months, just doing what I do on my own, you know, it scares these people. They don't know what to do with me.
We cannot let their voices stifle our cause. This political crisis puts our head in their jaws. History is upon us. We've seen this before. We can never allow freedom to exit our shore.
The Trump Chronicle. I'm your host, Ray Brookstein, also known as Ray Ray. Folks, standing up for what we believe in and having the right to freely express it and protest it is at the cornerstone of our freedom when they target someone who defies their, quote, prescribed behavior. They isolate, destroy, and make an example out of someone so they can exert maximum control and power. I believe this is what's happened and continues to happen to my guest, Laura Loomer. Laura is a fearless 25-year-old American patriot. She's Jewish, and she's fighting at a most important juncture of her American political and cultural history. I refer to it more as a battleground. So welcome, Laura. How are you doing today?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing well. How are you?
Everything's good. I got to tell you, it's an honor to have you on America Out Loud. I don't know if you're aware of it, but our slogan is let the silent voices be heard. But in your case,
that's a great slogan.
Well, it's a little different for you. It has to tweak a little bit. It's let the silenced be heard. And we do want to hear your voice, and we want it to be safe from suppression and censor. And not only what's happening to you, but what motivates you. So, you know, I took a little time to read through your Wikipedia biography, and frankly, it seemed more like a leftist hit piece, more like a rap sheet. How many times have you been arrested, and on what grounds?
Yeah, it definitely is a hit piece, and it accuses me of being a lot of things that I'm not. I've been arrested about three times, all three times for, you know, standing up for my country and trying to expose left-wing hypocrisy. The first time I was arrested was about 2 years ago when I stormed the stage of the Shakespeare in the Park play in New York City, where they were carrying out a mock assassination of President Trump. And I was arrested for trespassing and disorderly conduct, even though the people who were committing the mock assassination themselves should have been arrested, since it's a felony in the United States to, carry out or insinuate violence against the president of the United States. Another time I got arrested was at the Orlando Pulse terror trial in Orlando, Florida, because during a press conference, I just peacefully asked a question, and I guess the terrorist family members of the guy
who shot
Omar Mateen, 49 people
right.
in Orlando, they didn't like the fact that I asked them to condemn jihad, which is Islamic terrorism. So they complained to one of the lawyers, who then complained to the liberal judge who was appointed by Obama. And they the next day when I showed up for the hearing, I was physically escorted out and detained by U.S. court marshals, and they confiscated my phone, which they legally couldn't do. And then when I refused to leave, the lobby, because obviously it was a violation of my constitutional rights, they had me paper arrested and questioned by DHS, which was very odd to me, because, you know, I was just being a journalist and asking questions at a public press conference. It's not like I was being disruptive. You know, you're allowed to do this stuff. And then the third time I got arrested was about a month or so ago. And that was at Gavin Newsom's mansion at the California governor's mansion, because he said that everybody's welcome in the United States and that we shouldn't have borders and that all the illegals should be welcome. And so I figured that he wouldn't mind if I hopped over his fence at the governor's mansion. But apparently you're not allowed to hop over his fence, but you are allowed to hop over the United States border.
Wow. So that's unbelievable. So they took you, they arrested you, they lined you up, took pictures of you, you have numbers. Has this resulted in any legal fees or need for, legal defense?
Yeah, I mean, I recently sent out an email like 2 weeks or so ago because I had to pay about $7,000 to get a lawyer out of California to represent me in my case against the trespassing charges from Gavin Newsom's place. It's not like they're felonies. It's just misdemeanors for trespassing or disorderly conduct. But yeah, it does require legal defense fees. And I'm completely independent. And, you know, I'm an independent journalist. And I do gonzo guerrilla tactics to get my point across and to raise awareness about the issues our country is facing. And, I'm not backed by the mainstream media. So I completely rely on independent people to support my work, which has been hard because I'm so effective in what I do and because I'm well known. And I at one point had 265,000 followers on Twitter before I was banned. The left is trying to sabotage me and financially blacklist me. And so I was also permanently banned on PayPal.
Wow. So do you have the website that I can announce here on our platform for people that may want to make contributions on your behalf?
Yeah, it's just my website. It's lauraloomer.us, and you could see the donate link at the top of the page. So if you go to lauraloomer.us and you subscribe, you can also click on the donate link and you can support my work there.
Okay, great. Well, we'll make sure we get that out. You know, I was thinking about work schedule. You know, most people, most Americans, they get up in the morning, they have coffee, they get on mass transportation, they go to work, they sit at a desk, and they do whatever they do. I don't do it to mock that. I did it for many years myself. But I wonder about your work schedule, because it almost is like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? You know, where in the world is Laura Luma? How do you decide what's next? I mean, you were in California. I don't know, you know, whether you live on the East Coast, but you've got to get there. You know, Orlando, these are different locations. How do you decide what's next?
You know, it really just depends on the news cycle and what I find to be relevant. And so it depends on what's going on. You know, when I went to Nancy Pelosi's house and when I went to Gavin Newsom's mansion, you know, that has to do with immigration, because immigration has been a really hot topic. But, during the campaign season, I often go after a lot of the candidates who are running for office. I confront a lot of these jihadist anti-Semite candidates like Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, people like Linda Sarsour. Yes. I confronted Hillary Clinton and James Comey, Maxine Waters. It really depends on the news cycle. But also, you know, I'm known for going after jihadists and anti-Semites and leftists in general. And so, if an opportunity arises or if there's an event where somebody's speaking, oftentimes I'll attend and confront them.
I see. So obviously you're trying to be targeted wherever you go. Are you targeting the targeters? Is that part of your strategy? So if somebody comes after you, do you come after them?
It depends. I mean, it really depends. I mostly just go after people first before they probably are targeting me. But
so it's like a surprise.
I'm a conservative. Yeah, it's like a surprise.
And so at its root, do you consider yourself an investigative reporter?
Yeah, I do. I mean, some people call me an activist, but I call myself an investigative journalist, because everything that I do, you know, even if people view it as activism, it has my original investigative reporting behind it, but I'm using the guerrilla journalism tactics, the in-your-face reporting that used to be what reporters would do to really get the point across. But it seems like reporters are more just kind of like, you know, passive individuals now. They act more like lobbyists for their network's agendas as opposed to really asking tough questions, you know. And I ask tough questions of everybody. I go after leftists, but I also go after some conservatives sometimes as well. I just hold people accountable. And that's why, you know, my videos are called Loomered videos. And oftentimes when I confront people, it's called Getting Loomered. But I don't really think that
Well, some people would say what's happening to you. Some people would say what's happening to you is getting loomered. So it has like a dual definition, doesn't it? So, you know, I'm interested in knowing a little more, like, so what happened at Pelosi's location in San Francisco?
Well, I went to Nancy Pelosi's mansion in Napa Valley, where she has one of her multi-million-dollar mansions. And Nancy Pelosi said that a wall is an immorality and that sanctuary is a human right. And so I rented a car when I was in Arizona, and I drove down to the Mexican border, and I filmed the section where the fence basically ends in Otay Mesa to show how easy it is for people to walk over illegally into our country.
I see.
And what I did is then I drove from the Mexican border to Napa Valley, which was, you know, it was a long drive. But then I thought to myself, oh, it'd be really interesting. I wonder how Nancy Pelosi would react if we put some illegal aliens on her lawn. So I went to the Home Depot, and I found three illegal aliens from Guatemala and Mexico, and that's what I did. I put them on Nancy Pelosi's lawn, and we set up a tent. So we set up a sanctuary, and as you can imagine, Nancy Pelosi, what she wants for the country isn't what she wants for herself. So it's just, you know, just more hypocrisy coming from leftists in America again, where they tell you that we need to have open borders and foot the bill as taxpayers for all these dangerous illegal aliens. But when you put them on her lawn, she doesn't want them there. So the police were actually called, and we got deported from Nancy Pelosi's lawn. Okay. And it was kind of funny because when the police showed up, they started asking the illegals for identification, but didn't have ID because, well, they're illegal aliens, you know?
You know, it's so the hypocrisy is so deep. You know, all of us have jumped fences in our lives. I grew up on Long Island, and there were potato and tomato farms. We always jumped fences. I jumped neighbors' fences to get cherries and apples and things like that. So, you know, but when an illegal alien jumps a fence, well, you almost got, did you get arrested when you jumped over, or they just asked you to leave? They just removed
when you? When I did it at Nancy Pelosi's place, I wasn't arrested because it was being live streamed and it was the number one trending topic on Twitter, even though I was banned on Twitter at the time.
I see.
And the police showed up, and obviously everybody was watching this. Everybody was watching. And so she didn't really, well, she had the police remove us, but we weren't arrested. But when I did it at Gavin Newsom's place, I was arrested.
I see. Well, you know, you at least were escorted, you weren't arrested. An illegal alien, what would happen in reality is one step in and they get housing, money, the right to vote, you name it. You know, they don't get removed like you got removed, did they? So,
yeah, no, they weren't.
So do you travel with a team, you know, a videographer, a group, or do you do this all yourself?
I travel a lot by myself. Every once in a while, I'll bring, you know, a camera guy with me. But it's expensive, you know, and like I said, I'm independent. And so in order to do this, I definitely I need support, financial support from people to keep doing what I'm doing, because these investigations and the videos are expensive because they require traveling and production. So, you know, I rely on the support of people.
So I know in the news, there appears to, and you mentioned it before, how does one get terminated in a relationship with Pell? How did that happen?
Well, I don't really know exactly. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't violate their terms of service. You know what I'm saying? So they targeted me, I believe, because of my views, and also because CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, are asking, you know, these companies to ban me. The Wall Street Journal reported that CARE, which is a designated terrorist organization, lobbied Twitter to ban me. And then PayPal banned me, and they wouldn't provide a reason as to why they banned me besides, oh, her values aren't our values. So essentially, my values are pro-America, pro-Constitution, pro-Trump, conservative, anti-terrorism, you know, and I'm against anti-Semitism. But according to PayPal, those are not good values to have because they told Newsweek magazine that they banned me because of my values or that my values aren't their values.
I remember the Broadway play you were talking about where it was like almost like a Caesar, you know, being
murdered. Julius Caesar. It was a Julius Caesar Shakespeare in the Park.
And they have a Trump lookalike on stage, yeah. And they start murdering him with knives, or how it was depicted. You know, I remember Kathy Griffin holding up his severed head, and that was shocking. And yeah. I don't believe she's ever been banned from Twitter, has she?
No, she hasn't.
Now, I also heard that you went to a Chelsea Clinton book signing. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I went to a Chelsea Clinton book signing when I like first really began doing a lot of this stuff. And so I went to the Barnes & Noble where she was having this book signing, and she said that it was a book for, like, you know, women who persist. And she said she wrote it for women who had been silenced. And so I showed up to her book signing, and I asked her to sign a copy of her book for Juanita Broderick, who's a friend of mine.
I see.
Because, as you know, Juanita Broderick has accused Bill Clinton of rape. And, you know, when Hillary Clinton was running for president, Juanita Broderick and other women who have accused Bill Clinton of sexual assault and rape,
yes,
were silenced. And so I asked Chelsea, I said, well, since you care about women so much and women who are being silenced but persist regardless, can you sign it for my friend Juanita Broderick, who was raped by Bill Clinton, your dad?
I assume she refused.
Yeah, she was quite embarrassed and refused to sign. But, you know, you got to hold these people accountable. They're hypocrites. They care. They say they care about women and giving a voice to women, but then they silence Bill Clinton's rape survivors.
Yes, that was so obvious. Well, on that note, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back on the bus in a minute.
The Out and Out Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome back. Laura, I want to talk about some cultural issues, and specifically anti-Semitism. And you've been quite outspoken in your love for Judaism. As a Jew, I'm a Jew myself. We see anti-Semitism sort of recycling from about 80 years ago when you had the rise of Hitler. And now it seems like we're electing people to Congress who share some very anti-Semitic views. Can you tell us what happened with you and Ilhan Omar?
Yeah, so Ilhan Omar was running for Congress in Minnesota's 5th Congressional District last year. And, you know, I spotted her from a mile away as the, you know, a Jew-hating terror supporter that she really is. And so I traveled to Minnesota about a year ago and was on the ground investigating and exposing her. And, you know, the GOP wouldn't listen. The RNC wouldn't listen. No one really seemed to want to listen to these reports that I was producing about Ilhan Omar. And it's interesting because, you know, I confronted her nearly a year ago about her Jew hatred and hatred for Israel and, you know, why she married her brother and her ties to terrorist organizations. And, you know, she was there with Rashida Tlaib, who was also running for Congress, who I, you know, worked to expose. And at this event, Rashida Tlaib physically attacked me and tried to steal my phone. Well, I filed a police report against her, and nothing was really done about it. But now fast forward, and everyone wants to pretend like they don't know how these women got elected. But the reality is that there's a total blackout in the mainstream media. And these reports should have been broadcasted. My videos should have been, you know, put on TV. They should have talked about this, but they chose to ignore it. And, you know, people will say, oh, well, how do you expect them to know who you are? Well, you know, like, I have Sean Hannity's cell phone number. I have Judge Jeanine's cell phone number. I had Tucker Carlson's cell phone number. I sent my videos to them. I sent these to everybody at Fox News. I have their emails. So why is it that it was ignored? You know what I'm saying? So I just find a lot of the outrage over these women to be a bit disingenuous, because there were people who were working to stop this when it happened, and there were people who were trying to get these reports out in the open. But, you know, I was ignored, and no one really seemed to want to care. And so I feel like, yeah, the GOP has nobody to blame but themselves for the, you know, election of these Jew-hating terror supporters. Because they did nothing to stop them, you know, like, where were they? Where was the GOP on the ground in Minnesota? I mean, I spent a lot of time reporting on the Minnesota elections this last year, and I'm telling you, the presence of the GOP was so weak there.
You know, it's a shame, because part of, you know, as a conservative, and a lot of us are very concerned with what we've referred to as rhinos. It's like the president is all alone in this. He has no support, well, little support, a few guys, you know, Jim Jordan, Meadows, a few others, and the rest of them just cave. The RNC, I didn't know that, you know, about them. But he's all alone. You're all alone. And I want to let you know that I hope this interview will, you know, discussion will raise more awareness. Now, what happened with Twitter? I mean, we're all on Twitter.
Well, I was permanently banned. Yeah, I was permanently banned.
How did that happen?
Well, I was permanently banned on Twitter because I posted facts about Ilhan Omar. And so I posted that she was anti-Jewish and pro-Sharia and expressed concern online for her support of Sharia, which oppresses women and calls for the killing of Jews and the killing of homosexuals. And that's all facts. That's all factual information. And Twitter banned me for hate speech simply because I said Ilhan is anti-Jewish. Well, the whole reason this week why the media erupted is because, well, she is anti-Jewish. And they had to pass a resolution because, well, Ilhan Omar hates Jewish people. She hates Israel. She'd love nothing more than to watch Jewish people die in America. So, you know, I got banned for saying she was anti-Jewish. But meanwhile, David Duke is on Twitter. Ilhan's on Twitter. Linda Sarsour. Hamas is on Twitter. The Muslim Brotherhood is on Twitter. Iranian dictators are on Twitter. I mean, you know, if you they allow for hashtag kill all Jews. Literally, I kid you not. Hashtag kill all Jews to be a trend on Twitter, but they banned me for hate speech simply because I said Ilhan was anti-Jewish. So I was essentially eradicated from the internet. My presence was eradicated from the internet because I was, you know, combating anti-Semitism in America.
So how do you get your voice out and your videos out now? Are there any platforms?
Well, I put them on my YouTube channel, but my YouTube channel censored. I mean, it's pretty ridiculous how, like, my subscriber list never moves. My views are definitely manipulated on YouTube. I mean, this isn't a conspiracy theory. There's data, and there's, like, you know, videos, and there's recordings from Google employees that show that they are trying to censor and silence conservatives.
So how do you get your word out now that you can't put up a video, you're banned permanently from Twitter? Is it the same with Facebook?
I'm not permanently banned on Facebook. I put my videos on YouTube,
okay.
And I use Instagram as well. But I have my website. So I'm just using my website and really sending emails to people, because a lot of these social media companies, they suppress me and they try to prevent me from really, like, doing what I'm doing, you know?
Yes. I mean, I got your emails because of, you know, trying to, you know, arrange for this time today. And it was a good way to communicate. I mean, it was very, very good. The information was good. And I also learned about a trip that's coming up in June. I thank you for the invite, by the way. I'm not going to be able to make it, but there are some interesting dignitaries that are going to be going on a trip. I guess about a 9 or 10 day trip to Israel. Can you tell us what that trip is all about and what's going to happen?
Yeah, so I'm going to be going on a trip to Israel in May, from May 25th to June 4th. I won't be on the entire trip, but for most of it, I will be there. But there's going to be some national security experts and counterterrorism agents, and we're going to go to Israel to learn about walls that work. Because the Israelis have perfected wall technology and border security technology to essentially eliminate illegal immigration and prevent terrorist attacks in their country by like 90%. And the American people could really learn something from Israel. And I think that now that I've hopped over Nancy Pelosi's fence and Gavin Newsom's fence, I know a thing or two about walls that work and walls that don't work. And the Israelis have walls that do work.
So you'll be traveling around the country to different spots where you'll see different structures and different technologies that they utilize?
We're going to be looking at different technologies and talking to the people who built the walls in Israel and, get their expertise and let the people from America see firsthand and hear firsthand from these security officials how walls have improved security in Israel.
Will you have a chance to meet Netanyahu?
I don't know. Maybe. Who knows?
Wouldn't that be awesome? Do you know much about him?
I actually know his son, and so I'm hoping that I'm able to meet him while I'm there. I mean, it will be my birthday for part of the time that I'm there, but, the elections are currently taking place in Israel right now, and it's a very contentious time, and I'm just hoping that he wins his reelection.
Yes. It's my understanding that he's kind of thrown into the same boat as what's happening with Donald Trump. I mean, they don't want him in the White House, and they don't want Netanyahu in the Knesset, do they?
No, they're trying to sabotage him.
It's almost like parallels. And I assume you'll get to Jerusalem and see the U.S. Embassy.
Yeah.
So it's...
I was there last year reporting on the embassy move.
It was a great time to be there.
I was in Jerusalem. Yeah, it was great. It was a great time.
Well, the threats, we do have, here's the problem I see. In like the Knesset, my understanding is you can get up like the British, where they just scream and yell and they have a point of view. They can basically say whatever they want. In our Constitution, theoretically, we should be able to do the same thing. So on some level, what Tlaib and Omar and Ocasio are doing is sort of within, what's allowed for all of us. But when it turns into hate speech, I think that's where we draw the line, isn't it?
I don't like really using the word hate speech. I mean, hate speech is, there's not really no such thing as hate speech. I mean, where I draw the line is where people start inciting violence,
Okay.
That's where I draw the line.
That makes sense.
And a lot of the rhetoric that is currently coming from these, self-proclaimed jihadists and communist candidates, well, it does incite violence, right? Because these are people who are directly tied to terrorist organizations. And if you look at communism as a whole, well, it's responsible for the death of over 100 million people worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't really feel like my speech comes anywhere near, the level of violence. I'm not a violent person, right? But you have elected members in Congress and in our government who, support these other ideologies, Islamic and communist ideologies, which really are inciting violence.
Yes. I mean, this young kid that was slugged on the campus of Berkeley, as an example, was just too much. And we had Smollett, acting out what seems to have been a hoax. We have the Mueller investigation, which has been clearly a hoax of that there was no collusion. And now it seems that they keep trying to go down a path that's just a dead end. I mean, why are you being targeted? What do you think is going on? I mean, you're a 25-year-old. At 25, I was delivering boxes of frozen food for my father and his business on Long Island. At 25,
yeah.
You're flying all over the country, confronting some of the issues that many of us, I mean, we wouldn't, you know, we talk about, we're on Twitter, but you're out there actually doing it. So what is it about you that you they want to disenfranchise you in every single way, shape, or form?
Well, people want to target me and come after me because, well, I am effective. I'm effective in exposing the left, and I'm effective in exposing the Islamic threat that our world is facing, not just America. And, you know, the most powerful interests in the world right now, well, they're trying to advocate for these things. They're trying to spread communism. They're trying to Islamify the Western world. And I'm going after some of the most powerful people in the world with my investigations, and mm-hmm. I get up in their face, and I'm effective in exposing them and embarrassing them mm-hmm. and really shedding light on their hypocrisy. And I don't have any major funding, and I'm doing all of this on my own with, you know, my cell phone and my laptop. And like I said, no major backing, just the support of the people. And because I'm this effective, and I've been able to become really like a household name in the last 18 months, just doing what I do on my own, you know, it scares these people. They don't know what to do with me.
Are you afraid of anything?
I mean, I'm afraid of censorship because I feel like censorship is really going to lead to a lot of destruction in this country. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not fearful, like in terms of confronting people or exposing people. I just fear like what's going to happen in this country if we continue to allow for communists and Muslims to seek positions of power. And we see how this is already, you know, taking place right now, where you have these Muslim candidates who are trying to fundamentally transform America by promoting, you know, Jew hatred and anti-American values and, you know, calling for the eradication of Israel and the Jewish people. And, you know, we need to remember that the Holocaust, you know, wasn't that long ago.
No.
And it could happen again, really could happen again if we don't watch ourselves.
I'm personally very upset. Well, let me say it this way. I've learned that, like, Orthodox Jews are very conservative and believe in Trump. It's the, call it the liberal American Jews, that seem to be sticking with the Democrats, and it drives me crazy. I mean, isn't it clear where the Democrats, I'm not talking about traditional Democrats like John F. Kennedy Democrats, but I'm talking about Ocasio Democrats and Ilhan Omar Democrats and progressive left. It's scary what they're talking about in terms of Jew hating. And
yeah, it is.
And
it is scary.
It's you know, when are the American Jews going to wake up? That this, they're on the wrong side of the fence. Talk about fences. And I really worry about that. I mean, I mean my own, tell me a little about your family. I mean, you're only 25, so being young was only a few years ago. You know,
yeah.
Tell me a little about what it was like growing up. Where did you grow up, if you can?
I went to boarding school. I'm from Tucson, but I went to boarding school, so I was pretty independent. I mean, I wouldn't say that, like, my family, like, really influenced me that much into doing what I do. I was always very independent and did things on my own, so.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to boarding school, like I said, from the time that I was 12 till I was 18. So.
Okay. And when did you start getting this, like, itch to get in people's faces when you saw where the direction of the country was going?
When I was in college, I was president of College Republicans, and you know, I just felt like there was a need to, like, call people out and confront people. And I started at my own university because there was an event on 9/11. It was a 9/11 memorial service, and they allowed for an imam to open the ceremony by chanting Allahu Akbar. Mm. And obviously it was a way to, like, mock all the people who died on 9/11. And my university was, like, allowing this to happen at the university. And I felt it to be very disrespectful. And, you know, I challenged the university on it, and my post ended up going viral. And the university received a lot of criticism for it.
And then they tried to threaten me, to kick me out. And you know, I faced a lot of threats on campus and discrimination because of my views. And so I thought to myself, you know, I bet these people would let me have an ISIS club. They're so against Republicans on campus, but I bet they'd let me have an ISIS club. So I got a hidden camera, and that's what I did. I started an ISIS club with the university's approval and permission. This was at Barry University in Miami, Florida.
Yes.
And the video went viral, and they kicked me out of college for it because I exposed them. Because just like I was correct, you know, you don't face hostility if you want to start an ISIS club, but you face hostility if you want to have a college Republican club.
You know, on that note, we're just going to jump off the bus for a minute. Hold that thought, Laura.
Patriots. Through his widely acclaimed poetry books, The Trump Chronicle, Ray Ray has preserved for us these historic events that have surrounded the first 2 years of the Trump presidency. His fervent and patriotic poems capture in real time what could have easily been lost or forgotten. The Trump Chronicle is available on Amazon or through the America Out Loud bookstore. Pick up a few of these memorable books for your library. They are a must-have for our MAGA movement. Let's support this important patriotic poet and show host so we can continue to read history through poetry.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Laura Loomer. Laura, you were talking about Barry University, and I know Barry University is right down the road from me in North Miami Beach. That's in Miami. And you were describing that it's easier to set up an ISIS club than, like, let's say a conservative club. It's obvious. Now, I have done some study of this issue, and the recent studies point out that the ratio in college campuses of liberal professors to conservative professors when it comes to history is about 30-1. I mean, so you're up, it's like swimming upstream as a student on any campus in America to be a conservative. Now, I was really pleased to hear, and I want to track back because something happened to you with the CPAC, but I just, before I ask you about that, I want to just mention that one of the big takeaways I got from the CPAC meeting was President Trump putting the college campuses and universities on notice that limiting free speech is going to be the quickest way to end their federal funding. And I was just applauding the TV when I heard that. So you faced this, and were you close to graduation? I mean, they pulled the carpet out from you.
Yeah, they kicked me out. They kicked me out a month before graduation,
oh,
and I was
God.
Set to be valedictorian. I had a 4.0 GPA. I was
what?
The top student in my university class. Yeah, but they that's what they did. They pulled the plug under me. So, interesting because they didn't even fire the professor who was like, yeah, sure, you can have a nice club.
So you went in a little undercover. You know, as you say, it was a little bit of your guerrilla, you know, reporting. You had a undercover, you set the guy up a little bit, but the message was clear, wasn't it?
Clear. I was just trying to expose hypocrisy, and I got kicked out for it.
I mean, it yes, and to get kicked out as when you're going to be the valedictorian of your class. I mean, when you have extra money, you should sue Barry University. I mean, that is just outrageous that they would do something like that. But, you know, I mean, you're like impervious, aren't you? I mean, there's not much that gets to you. You know, maybe in a private moment, you know, we all, you know, are a little vulnerable. But, man, oh, man, you are one tough girl. I'd call you a badass, aren't you?
Thank you.
Yes, and that's a compliment.
I appreciate that.
Well, you know, you need some people behind you. Tell me what happened at CPAC. And just explain for the listeners that may not be aware what CPAC is.
Well, CPAC is a conference that takes place every year in in the Washington D.C. area. It's usually held at the Gaylord Hotel, which is in Maryland, really. But it's supposed to be like the biggest gathering of conservatives every single year, and it's a place where conservatives get together and they promote conservative ideas. There's supposed to be conservative speakers. The president usually speaks if there's a Republican in the White House at the time. And, you know, I've been going for the last few years or so. And you can apply for media credentials, and that's what I did. I applied because I'm a journalist, and I was given media credentials. And when I was at CPAC, you know, I was reporting on things. I was interviewing people about social media bias of conservatives. I was conducting interviews. And I came across a CNN reporter by the name of Oliver Darcy. And many people know, but many others don't know, that Oliver Darcy is the guy who's responsible at CNN for working to get Alex Jones banned from social media. And there was a report that came out a while back about how CNN was actually lobbying social media companies to ban conservatives from social media, including Alex Jones. And so I very peacefully and nicely went up to Oliver and confronted him on camera about why he was abusing his position of power as a journalist to lobby to silence conservatives, because I feel like that's a violation of journalistic ethics, right? Mm-hmm. And he just didn't want to answer the question, was avoiding everything that I said. And then, CNN, along with a guy from Right Wing Watch, which Right Wing Watch is a branch of the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, they complained to CPAC about me and falsely said that I was harassing them, when really it's all on video. You can see for yourself, like, all I did was ask a question. And so the next day, when I was in line to go see the president speak, security pulled me aside and they took away my media credentials and said that I was banned from CPAC.
Oh my God.
And that was the last event of the day, and I wasn't able to go listen to Trump speak because the head of the CPAC and, you know, CPAC organizers took away my media credentials because I confronted fake news CNN.
So they caved, the CPAC officials?
Yes, they did.
I mean, this is a conservative for conservatives. Yet they caved. Well, this is the same.
Yeah.
This is the same problem on our side of the fence, isn't it? It's not enough that we're fighting the other side, but when we're fighting ourselves, this is the real risk in 2020, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it is. It's the infighting, and it's also just kind of like conservatives' inability to stand up for those on their own team. And you notice how the left is united. Like, they won't even condemn Ilhan Omar for anti-Semitism.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
so,
I do.
So how are the Republicans supposed to win in 2020 again if they're so divided? I mean, Republicans don't even stand together.
No.
The Democrats are defending the worst of the worst.
I mean, we have the people and the president. But Republican Congress, no. They are not going to do it. And I you're right. I agree with you. I have to hand it to the Democrats. They always stick together as a block, no matter what. I mean, look at the proposals that they just wanted to make, that it to protect a born child through a failed abortion. They couldn't even pass a resolution of that importance. And all of the Democratic candidates for president all supported it. I mean, they stick together. I got to hand it to them. When are we going to learn? I mean, I listen to Dan Bongino quite a bit, and I love his podcasts, and I learn a lot. But one of the things that's coming out is that we have to take our gloves off. And you do it for us, and we really appreciate it. But you need some support. And it just, you know, again, we'll try our best to help this along for you. I want to turn to another subject that I read that you have a lot of information about, and that is the Las Vegas shooting. I know it's a while back already. I don't even remember the date, but I know I wrote a poem about it. You know, my contribution, you know, I've written poetry books that you may or may not know, known as the Trump Chronicle. I chronicled 2 years of the Trump presidency through poetry. You should get it. If not, I'll make sure that you get some of the books. And a third is on the way. And I wrote a poem about Las Vegas, so I don't even remember the date. But what light can you shed on the investigation into Las Vegas? I mean, you've been accused of being a conspiracy theorist. Please help me on this.
Yeah, well, I've been accused of being a conspiracy theorist because I was, effective in forcing the FBI to change their timeline, right? This is the biggest cover-up, one of the biggest cover-ups in modern history. You have the FBI lying to the American people with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, saying that Stephen Paddock checked in on the 28th. Well, I was able to obtain receipts that showed he checked in on the 25th. And when I confronted them at their press conference about this, you know, they were forced to admit it. And so then they banned me from their press conferences to prevent me because I was breaking a lot of information, a lot of stories about this. And, you know, there's a lot of evidence that shows that this was an ISIS terrorist attack. And even members of Congress were briefed on the fact that this was an ISIS terrorist attack. But for some reason, they're trying to cover it up. And the FBI won't even really release their report about it. People's FOIA requests are being denied. You know, they're trying to say that Stephen Paddock was this unknown guy. And, you know, and if you look at the documents that that have been released, you can see that, you know, there's documents of him telling Uber drivers that he was going to commit a terrorist attack. You know, there's a lot of evidence that shows that this was ISIS. ISIS claimed responsibility for it 4 times, and ISIS has never claimed responsibility for something they didn't do. Mm-hmm. And I've provided a lot of evidence about this, and I broke a lot of stories about it, and the media just tried to cover it up. I mean, you have to wonder, right?
Yes. It was horrible.
And you don't hear anything about it. But then with Parkland, 17 people die, and we have to act like, you know, it's the most shocking tragedy in America. I mean, 3 times as many people died in Vegas, and it didn't get even 1% of the media coverage that Parkland received.
It astounds me that we know so little, and it's been so long, and so many people died, and so many people got injured permanently for the rest of their lives. And we just know virtually nothing. I mean, it's like it never happened. And this is part of the problem that we have short memories, and we're being directed away from real news. I mean, fake news is really a problem. And it happens with the Mueller, it happens with Las Vegas, it happened with Parkland, it probably happened in Orlando. They were the information about the direction and those responsible being, you know, Islamists is all been shielded from the news. I mean, how do we get to some solutions, Laura? You know, in the last few minutes we have together, what can we do to bring this around so that we can make some progress in our country?
Well, people need to start fighting back. We need to start fighting fire with fire. I think that it's pretty egregious how, you know, the Republicans and, you know, the people in the RNC and the GOP have just kind of like let the left run wild and unhinged. And now we have jihadis and Jew haters in Congress. That people need to stop being so cowardly and really start to fight back. And that's what I do. I try to fight fire with fire with my tactics, and hopefully people catch on, because I don't know if Trump's going to win in 2020 unless people start fighting fire with fire. I really don't, because the Democrats are just playing with no rule book whatsoever. They don't care about rules. They don't care about morals. They don't care about ethics. And we have the social media and tech companies working against us, the media working against us. And it just seems like the GOP would much rather, you know, apologize than fight back. Kind of shocking.
It really is. Well, you know, Trump was elected and because he was a disruptor.
Right.
And he gets praise for that. You are a disruptor and you're not getting enough support. And that's what troubles me, that we need to get behind you. And you're absolutely right. People have to fight fire with fire. Republicans tend to be kind, considerate, you know, always looking for the brighter side of things. But like I said before, it's time to take the gloves off. Our network, we're looking at a lot of different issues, even to the extent of how children are being influenced in from kindergarten to age six. You know, where it starts. You had those young people confronting Dianne Feinstein. Did you see that one?
Yeah.
I mean, these kids were, you know, already supporting the Green Deal. And she said, you know what? Maybe you kids should start listening more than talking. I mean, I don't particularly care for Dianne Feinstein that much, but I got to agree with how she handled it. You know, but these we're fighting in so many different areas, aren't we? That it's like you don't even know where to start.
Wars. Yeah, there's propaganda wars. Like, look what they're doing to kids. You know, they're going into schools, like, teaching that Trump is evil. So, I don't know. It's not, you know, we're not up against a fair fight here. And the Republicans need to stop being such cowards if they want to win anything.
Yes. I heard you got banned from Uber. You can't get into an Uber or a Lyft. Is that true?
Yeah, I'm banned from Uber and Lyft as well.
So what do? You take a regular cab? You hitchhike? I mean, listen to something you said.
I have a car.
Okay.
I have a car. And so, you know, luckily I have a car. But, yeah, it's just more tech censorship. You know, I was banned for speaking out about the fact that Uber hires ISIS terrorists.
Oh, my God. You are really something, and you're fighting so hard for us. And I know you have a tremendous amount of popularity, but we've got to turn the popularity into action. And, you know, we'll do is eventually this will get to a podcast, and this will go out to a lot of people, to a lot of places. We'll also, you know, we support you on our network at America Out Loud. And
thank you.
I just want you to know that this is not going to just be like an idle interview conversation with me, but we want to take action. That's what we want to be a voice. As I said at the very beginning, you're being silenced, and we want to take steps to allow you to have that voice horizontally, you know, so that it can move vertically. And, you know, I just in kind of wrapping up, I'd like to ask you, what really drives you? What's your motivation? What's your passion underneath all this?
Well, I'm really driven by, like, a love for my country, really. I care about my country, and I care about having a future. And I feel like that's just not going to happen, you know, in the current, like, way that we're living. It doesn't seem like a very bright future ahead when we have these terrible things happening in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm doing what I can and fighting as hard as I can to, combat the left-wing agenda in America. So I encourage others to do the same.
Well, this may be a little bit of a stretch, but I see you, really two things that I look back in history. And one of them was the JFK Pulitzer Prize winning book, which was Profiles in Courage. You're familiar with that, aren't you? You may not be. It's a while ago. It won a Pulitzer Prize in 1957. And what Kennedy did is he took a look at the lives of 8 senators who went against the grain and paid the price. And I look at you that way. The other thing is a little bit of a stretch, and this is a real long time ago. We're talking 600 years ago. Joan of Arc. Joan of Arc was young, like you. In fact, she was 19. And she was a French loyalist, and she fought because the British were dominating the French. It was called the Hundred Years' War. Mm-hmm. And she became a martyr. She was sentenced, convicted, and burned at the stake at age 19. And now, of course, it's a stretch, like I said, but I want to applaud you for your courage and your fearlessness. And I want to thank you for coming on with us.
And thanks for having me.
And in closing, Laura, I just want to read a poem that I wrote about a month ago that's never been published. I wrote it kind of on the come that you would come on to the show. You know, I was a little persistent, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to read the poem for you. It's called Tongue Tied. The framers knew the risk of a voice that's loud and free. First tyrants aim to cut your tongue, then tie your hands and feet. They'll make you an example right in the village square, expose the sacrificial lamb so others wouldn't dare. But the hallmark of our freedom was etched in number 1. Freedom to express ourselves must never be undone. We see attempts to stifle us each and every day. Giants of the media, a deadly game they play. We aren't part of Asia nor in the Middle East. You've never seen resistance, just try and steal our peace. To those of you who lead the charge, you're held in high regard. Please know that we all have your back. Our oppressors will retard. It's time we respect the words that the founders carved in stone. While they came not down a mountain, they wanted to hang it upon our home. Love, Ray Ray, and a poem.